I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, January the 4th, 2016.
Woo.
Don't forget to write 2016 on your checks if you're one of those people that actually still writes checks. This is Brad Locke, and along with me today is not W. Derek Russell, but
no.
he's busy. It's Lauren Wood.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Lauren. How's it going?
Good.
My condolences about Michigan State.
That's okay. I've gone through the grieving process.
Already?
And Chris saw me at my lowest point during the game.
Oh, were you watching the game with some friends?
Yeah. Well, we turned it off at one point. But on a happy note, I realized that I'm like, you know what? I would have rather have had that season with those crazy wins.
Yeah, it was a fun season for them.
And have gotten there and lost that way than to have, like, lost to Michigan and not have gotten there, or lost to Ohio State, or lost to whoever.
Let's be honest, a win over Michigan is probably more satisfying than a win over anybody else,
well,
right?
Michigan and Ohio State in the same
State.
Season is,
yeah,
like,
it's pretty good.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day, too. It's a weird thing about the bowls compared to any other sports where you've got a playoff system and most everybody ends with a loss. I mean, you've got this system where so many teams end with a win, but, you know, would you really rather have won the, you know, whoever you want to pick on, the Bahamas Bowl, you know, rather than losing a playoff game? So,
and, I mean, it's a setting the bar, you know. We've gotten there. Now we just got to keep on.
And now you can turn your attention to basketball because they're pretty good there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's almost March. Oh, yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Izzo.
March rhymes with
Izzo. They still number one? They finally lost a game.
But yeah, they did. And their top player was – I'm not making excuses because it's fine. It's fine to lose now. And they'll learn a lot.
It's basketball.
Filling in for the number one guy is out with – he had surgery, so he's kind of out for a couple weeks.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's fine.
Is that Valentine?
Yeah.
Is he their top guy? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, it's fine to lose now. They'll learn.
Well, bowl season is, I guess, basically over, except we got the national championship.
Well, Ole Miss had a great game. Mississippi State had a great game.
Ole Miss won the Sugar Bowl. State won the Belk Bowl. So both Mississippi teams doing quite well. And I guess earlier,
Southern Miss
won its bowl game, didn't it?
When?
I feel pretty certain. That was back
It was before Christmas.
But so, good year in football for the state of Mississippi, no doubt. so it's the first show of the new year. Derek isn't here.
Well, I'm your new host for the year, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's actually, you've replaced Derek.
Is that my prize for being the first
<There you go. laughs>
the first host?
What were you saying, Chris?
Southern Miss lost to Washington 44-31.
No, okay.
I want to make sure we had that right.
Still, they had a
great season. Yeah, their coach. I really like their coach. Yeah,
they're back on the upswing. So, anyway, first show of the new year. Hope everybody had a nice, fun, safe holiday.
It's so hard to be back to work on Monday.
I know. I got back on Thursday. Yeah, because I did the show Thursday. And today's feels like the first day back for some reason. But long weekend. We got a good show. We got a packed show. We got Bobby Harrison. The new legislative session starts tomorrow. Whoopee. Bobby will talk about that from Jackson. Emma Crawford to talk about school funding. That's an issue that's not going to die anytime soon.
No.
Thomas Wells, chief photographer, will be in here to talk about his cool photo essay at this old school over in Itawamba County. We'll have crime reports, Lauren. Everybody's favorite thing, crime reports. And I was only able to do one set of crime reports last week because I was off most of the week, but we had a lot. So we got some stuff.
People go crazy around the holidays.
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
Yeah, especially around here. So,
especially when you got a three-day weekend.
That's what happens. All right, we got a good show. Let's get going. All right, let's go down to Jackson, our Capitol Bureau reporter, Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how's it going?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. You getting psyched for the new legislative session? You have any rituals you have to go through before it starts?
Well, I've been off for a little bit over a week during the holiday, so I don't know if I'm psyched. I'm just trying to get back in the routine. Probably be more accurate.
I feel you. It starts Tuesday, and this is going to be a little longer session than usual, Bobby, just because we're coming off an election year. So I guess you're going to have kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it, an orientation period or whatever. We got a lot of new people coming in.
Yeah, new people coming in, and, you know, you had to go through the just sort of the, what I call the pomp circumstance, you know, tomorrow they'll go through the process of electing a speaker of the House, which, of course, that'll be Philip Gunn. Over in the Senate, you know, a little bit more drama, not as important position, but, you know, of course, the Lieutenant Governor, Tate Reeves, is the presiding officer of the Senate, but there's the senators themselves elected pro tem. And so I think last night it was decided, normally the Lieutenant Governor has a big say in who the pro tem is going to be. I think last night it was decided that it was going to be Terry Burton, a Republican from Newton.
Okay.
Who was just sort of a real team player. It was served as a sort of interim pro tem when Terry Brown, the pro tem, dies during the last term. He wasn't elected pro tem. Giles Ward was elected pro tem after Brown died. But Terry Burton has served a lot of roles, and he's going to just be his most prominent role in the Senate. He's been a longtime lieutenant for a bunch of lieutenant governors, so this would be a plum in his cap to be a pro tem.
So we won't really see them dive into any real issues, I guess, right away, will we, Bobby?
I don't. You know, they may surprise us, but I don't think so. Like I said, Tuesday they're going to swear in the legislators and elect a pro tem in the Senate and a speaker in the House, and then Thursday, I think it is, they have a ceremony where they swear in all the statewide officers, with the exception of governor. And of course, at the inauguration for Governor Bryan for his second term,
right?
That will occur next week. So I think it'll probably be after that they really get into the meat and potatoes of the session. That's normally the way it happens.
Right, right. You had a story last week talking about what maybe to expect. I like that you talked to Representative Steve Holland, just because he's always a good quote. he basically has no use for all the introductory stuff, the pop and circumstances you talked about. But he expects it to be a kind of a typical session, which, you know, we got the flag issue could become a big deal, maybe not, no tax cuts, or something that'll probably garner a lot of attention. Do you expect it to be typical, and what kind of stands out to you?
Well, those things, I mean, you know, we talked about last week, I think, that the flag could be, could be an issue, or it might be something that just never makes it to the floor. You know, there's a lot of momentum for tax cuts, particularly for business, but there's also some momentum to raise revenue, which means, you know, a tax increase for somebody to improve infrastructure. So there's a lot of competing forces going on. And getting back to Holland for a sec, you know, after I wrote that story, I didn't think about the time after I wrote it. You know, he's one to talk about, you know, being tired of the pomp and circumstance. I remember, you know, Steve really, I mean, through the years, he's really enjoyed that part of the process. He, you know, he's been, I can picture him now just sitting out of his desk, kind of back, close to the back, and he's regardless who the governor is or who's being sworn in, Republican, Democrat, he's been up cheering and sort of waving the American flag and hooting and hollering, and just kind of, you know, just because, you know, the process is, regardless of party, the Democratic process is something to behold. And, you know, he's been sort of a chief cheerleader for that through the years. So if he's telling the truth, he's really getting sired on that part of the process. That's kind of unusual, because Steve's always been one who's enjoyed that process of the democracy in action, of
right,
swearing in new officers and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing it a while. Republicans, of course, are controlling the House and the Senate. They have a supermajority, 3/5 supermajority in the Senate, and they're one seat short of that in the House. And there's that contested race with Bo Eaton and Mark Tullos. Eaton, the Democrat, won the drawing of the straws, I guess, but Tullos is challenging that. So do you expect, basically, it looks like the Republicans can just about do what they want here, Bobby?
Yeah, within reason. I do think that there'll be some checks and balances. You know, Republicans got some tough choices to make. Getting back to that tax, the state revenue has not been really, collections have been sluggish. You got business groups saying we need new revenue to improve roads and bridges. Then you got business saying we need to cut our taxes. So like I said, it's going to be some tough choices they have to make. And so I think even getting all Republicans to agree on exactly what to do may be more difficult than they think right now. So it's, I don't think it'd be a slam dunk that they'll just come in and they'll agree and just go whole hog. I think there'll be some give and take, and I think that leads to an opportunity for Democrats, even though they have a minority, to have an influence on the process.
All right, good stuff, Bobby. And I need to tell everybody that if you want to hear and see more about the legislative session coming up, again, it starts Tuesday. We're going to be doing a Daily Journal webcast every Monday starting today with Bobby, just kind of breaking things down. We're going to do it every Monday throughout the legislative session. Today's will go on at 2 p.m. at djournal.com, which may already be over with by the time you're listening to this, but you can watch the replay. So be sure to check that out. Bobby, appreciate your time, man.
All right. Y'all have a happy new year.
You too. Hey, need to remind y'all about a couple of other podcasts that we're doing here. They're back at their normally scheduled times this week. Double Coverage and Prep Rally. Double Coverage, of course, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. I know they taped early last week, but this week will be back on Thursday. You can listen to it, of course, in iTunes or your podcast app if you're on Android, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And Prep Rally with myself and Gene Phelps will be back on Wednesday after a bit of a holiday hiatus, and we'll break down high school sports in the area. A lot of basketball going on, so look for that Wednesday, and you can also listen to that on iTunes and most of your podcast apps, and at preprally.djournal.com. Hey, look, it's Emma Kent on the show.
Got it.
Yay,
right on the first
Brad
try.
Got my name right.
One take.
You got it wrong on the intro. I just let you go with it.
Did I really?
You did.
Dadgummit. Do we have to redo the intro now?
No, we're good.
People know we corrected it here.
Forget it. Doing it live. No. Inside joke. Emma Kent, nay Emma Crawford. You've only been married a couple months, okay? You got to give me some time to adjust.
Okay. Well, I tell my married friends once they're in my phone, their last names never change.
Sorry.
So, yep.
I'm still Emma Crawford friends. In Jacob's phone, so.
That's funny.
I need to call Emma. Which one? It's Emma Crawford? Is that the one I need to call? Okay. Yeah, it's funny. I just have my wife and my phone as wife.
That's easy. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I still have John Pitts in my phone as boss, even though I don't work in sports anymore. But, like, he'll always be my boss in my mind.
He is a boss.
He is
a boss. I think regardless, that's fitting.
Yeah, it is. but anyway, Emma Kent, if that's what you want to be called. Let's talk about education funding. It's an issue that is going to stick around, even though the Initiative 42 was recently defeated by voters. Advocates for public education still going to try to make their voice heard. Now, so what's kind of next for them? I guess kind of going through the parents' campaign now. Is that kind of the vehicle for their message?
Yeah, that seems to be the main organization kind of working on making school funding issues a priority. But I think they were really motivated by Initiative 42 just because it gained a lot of momentum and they did have a lot of support for it. But I think what I kind of gathered in talking to Nancy Loom, who is over the parents' campaign, is that they're not going to have another big initiative like that because it's very expensive and time consuming and it just was hard. So, she said that they're just going to try to communicate more effectively with the legislature. Having more people from the parents' campaign meeting with their legislators and trying to make those voices heard and just keep advocating, really. I mean, they just said they're just going to keep standing up for what they're believing in. So, yeah.
Even though the initiative was defeated, I know you talked to Patsy Brumfield, who was the director of communications for 42 for Better Schools, that was behind it. Even though the initiative didn't pass, do they feel like they made some progress, at least, just by all the attention it got? Maybe that can give them some kind of advantage in the future.
Yeah, both Patsy and Nancy said that they feel like it kind of pushed it up to a place where it can't be ignored, you know? I mean, it was this whole big thing for so long in a big conversation. And so, they said well, now at least like people know what we want, and they know that this is a big issue and that it's something that we're very concerned about and that, you know, Mississippians are concerned about. And so it definitely, I think they felt like even though it didn't pass, it was worth doing and worth the fight because it got it into the public eye a little more.
New legislative session starting on Tuesday. What do they feel like they can do? I know in your story from Sunday, it's, you know, just communicating with the legislators, that's maybe one thing they can work on. What do they feel like they can accomplish next few weeks and beyond?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because they really, I mean, all they can do is advocate. I mean, all they can do is talk. You know, it's up to the legislators that are there and that are meeting to really make the decision. So it's just going to be a lot about just communicating their opinions and the reason why they think that education funding is important, just kind of pushing that as the session continues into the spring. And, you know, they both kind of said, well, we've made our voices heard and we'll keep doing that. But like, it's up to the legislators and to the leadership to take that and really be like representative of the, what they think the people want. So it's kind of, at the same time, it's up to them, you know, because they're the ones that make those decisions. So
I'm curious, and you may know this, you may not, what Patsy Brumfield is going to do next now that the 42 for Better Schools is, you know, with the initiative not passing, it's no longer a thing, I guess. But knowing Patsy, because she used to work at the Journal, full disclosure, she's not one to keep quiet about something when she feels strongly about it. I'm kind of curious what she, if she's just going to be working with the parents' campaign now or in some fashion or just advocating for them or what.
She's not directly involved with the parents' campaign. I mean, she certainly supports them and has a lot of the same, you know, opinions as they do.
Sure.
But I'm sure she'll be doing something. I just don't know what.
Yeah, I'm sure she will too, knowing Patsy. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I'm sure you will, Emma, and appreciate you coming on the show again.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks.
The Daily Journal is inviting filmmakers to participate in its new Entertain Us movie contest. The contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from 1 second to 5 minutes. They can be shot on an iPhone, a camcorder, or any other device. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. January 20th, 2016. There is no registration fee. The ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. The winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend.
Let's welcome Chief Photographer Thomas Wells into the show. Thomas, how's it going?
Good morning to everyone.
Have fun in New Orleans?
You can't not have fun in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was a good shoot you had down there at the Sugar Bowl.
You know, if we're just playing around, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Not getting paid for it. I was down there anyway, you know. So.
Yeah, we used the pictures.
Absolutely.
So, good stuff. You had some other pictures in actually today's paper and online at djournal.com. This In Focus photo essay y'all do every week is really a cool deal. And for this one, you ventured out into the... to the depths of Itawamba County,
deep into the woods. I thought I heard banjos.
I was going to ask you exactly how deep into the woods you were because it looks like one of those things that you, it's like a place you'd stumble upon.
Thank God for GPS.
In some mockumentary horror film. Oakland Normal Institute, it's a historic place. It's a Mississippi historic landmark.
Correct.
An old school built in the 1800s, the original building. Of course, that one, I believe they tore down and rebuilt in the 30s, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
That's correct.
And it was just started out, like I said, it was the Oakland Normal Institute, which I guess it was kind of like a prep school, or what was it?
Yeah, it, from what I gather, it looks like it was a catch-all for all ages of youth, assuming mostly men, who... I guess they didn't have a school in that area, and they just would teach kids probably ages from, you know, 8 to 18, all, right. You know, like the old schools you see on, like, Little House on the Prairie type things.
Yeah.
It was really unique. I mean, I stumbled across it 2 years ago before an assignment, just off venturing off in the woods waiting for my assignment to start. I always try to get to an assignment early and just kind of go venture out in areas I haven't been in.
Right.
And came across that place, and I said, I'm going to come back one day and photograph it. And then this photo essay series popped up, and I knew exactly when I was going to go back and shoot it. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old. I've lived in Mississippi my entire life, and I've never seen an outhouse until
really
2 weeks ago.
You've never seen an outhouse?
Can you believe it?
I've lived
in rural Mississippi, grew up in the Delta, and never saw an outhouse until I went to that place.
I don't think I've ever used one, but I've seen a few. In fact, yeah. The house my mom grew up in is just down the road from where she lives now, and it's still standing, covered in ivy, but there's an outhouse.
Right, wow.
Right back there,
yeah.
So on the property. So it became just a regular county school in about 1904, and it closed in 1954, so it's been closed for 6-plus decades. How did you get to it exactly?
Literally, if you go to Tremont and you turn north on Highway 23, mm-hmm. You go up that road about, I don't know, 5-6 miles, and there's a sign that says it's the Oakland Normal Institute. It's a landmark right down the side of the road. You turn left or back to the west on that road, and it's you can miss it because you got to take a couple of extra, and it's on the road called School Road in Itawamba County.
Right.
But it was, if you don't know where it is, you have a really hard time finding it because there's no real marker signs. Take a left, take a right.
Right.
I literally just got lucky and stumbled across it, just being the curious George that I am. When I get on the back roads, I just start riding around, and the first time I saw it 2 years ago, it struck me. And I got out and spent an hour just walking around the grounds, just looking at it.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the building's still there, and you got old desks and chalkboards and other stuff, an old piano.
Old piano that's still, from what I gather, a lot of that stuff was original to the building. And and even in the, there's a lot of photographs we used online and other places. They've still got some of the hand-hewn wood that they use, the timbers, where you can see the chop marks from when they use the axes to mill the wood by hand for the support beams. It's just, it's fascinating to see how they built a building like that.
And then the outhouse has fallen into a little bit of disrepair.
Much of it. They need to go to Lowe's and get some tile and dress that up a little bit.
Old water fountain outside. I'm curious, this being a historic landmark, is there any kind of upkeep, or is it just kind of to keep it from falling apart?
I don't believe so, from what I've gathered, because from the time I found it 2 years ago to the time that I got into the school a couple weeks ago, let's just say some people who should not be in there went in there and kind of did some damage, broke out some windows. A little bit of vandalism has happened to the school, as you can imagine. I'm just assuming teenagers.
Yeah. Dang kids.
You can't have anything nice, But no, it's a neat old building. If you want to take a step back in time and you want to go on a little day trip to go venturing, it's really neat to look at. It really is.
Looks really cool. Thomas, appreciate you joining us. You can find this photo essay in today's journal and more photos, many, many photos, online at djournal.com. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Time for today's news memo. Quick look at the news of the day. Jason Shelton, the mayor, is focused on his Tupelo plan as 2016 begins. Daily Journal reporter Zach Orsborn has a story in today's paper about the mayor's goals at the beginning of a new year. Shelton spoke about that plan that he used as his campaign platform. Upcoming projects include the East Main Elvis Presley Trail, Tupelo Police Department headquarters, and the West Jackson Revitalization Project. Shelton also is focused on his upcoming marriage to Chelsea Rick. That's going to be in May.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon Presley could soon become chairman of the 3-member Public Service Commission. The Democrat represents Northeast Mississippi as the Northern District Commissioner. The former mayor of Nettleton has already exerted his influence at the commission over his 2 terms.
Caleb Lamar Atkins was the first baby born in 2016 at Starkville's OCH Regional Medical Center. Caleb was born at 7:42 a.m. on Friday, January the 1st. Weighed 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 and a half inches long. He is the son of Chelsea Tuggle and Antoine Atkins of Macon. Meanwhile, Carly Johnson became the first baby at New Albany's Baptist Memorial Hospital, Union County. She was born in the early morning hours of January the 2nd. Merritt Health Gilmore Memorial in Amory and North Mississippi Medical Center Women's Hospital in Tupelo did not announce their first baby of the year, citing new safety and privacy guidelines.
State leaders and local law enforcement have blasted a Jackson City Councilman for comments encouraging violence against police officials from other jurisdictions who chase suspects into Jackson. Jackson Councilman Kenneth Stokes made the remark saying, quote, "We should use rocks, bricks, or bottles to get the message over," end quote. Governor Phil Bryant said he condemned such remarks in the strongest possible manner, and Attorney General Jim Hood called for cooperation and mutual respect between citizens and law enforcement. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson said he found Stokes' comments troubling, especially coming from an elected official. Johnson is among many law enforcement officials asking Hood to investigate if Stokes had broken any laws.
For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. And now, Lauren.
What?
What have we next?
Crime reports.
Crime reports. Woo! Still need some music for that, Chris. Need to work on that.
So, what has happened over the holidays, Brad?
Well, you know, I was out most of last week, but we did have some crime reports that I posted, I guess it was Thursday. We had a bunch because it was from several days worth.
Holiday is something about holidays makes just people go, whoo.
People act, well, even crazier than normal, which is saying something for around here. And people still haven't learned the lesson of locking your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Yes. A Shannon woman reported that someone stole her Glock pistol from her car. She said she leaves the car unlocked while at home, does not know when the gun was stolen. She added that her husband also reported a firearm stolen from his truck, which it doesn't say, but I'm assuming was not locked as well. Hmm. If people would read my blog, Lauren, they would know how much I harp on locking your car doors.
One time I accidentally didn't lock my car door, and somebody was in my opened my car door and was in it.
There you go.
And takes I also called the cops. So.
It only takes once.
Yeah. One time.
They didn't take, they took some gum. They took a pack of gum.
Last year we had some hooligans going through the neighborhood trying to get into unlocked cars. Our cars were locked, so we didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
I know.
Because a lot of times people, I mean, someone might bust your window open, and if they really want to get in, they will, but a lot of times people just... They look for unlocked cars. That's all they do. And then they'll find them and they'll steal stuff. It's easy easy pickings.
Lock your doors.
Or don't keep anything in them, I guess. But then you still got people climbing through your
cars. Well, Justin's strategy is to never clean his car so no one ever wants to go to break into. He's like, go ahead, break into my car. There's nothing there. But
right. You can clean it, it for me.
Have this McDonald's bag.
Yes.
Oh, boy. A woman rode to work at a furniture plant with a man and later discovered her iPhone 6 missing. The man reportedly told the woman's friend he took the phone to Walmart and got $20 for it. The woman said the phone was valued at $900, and the lime green case for the phone was worth another $100.
That's a fancy case.
You got two problems here. A, why would you pay $100 for a case? That's about three times too much, at least.
And you know, especially no one pays $900 for an iPhone.
If you're dumb enough to pay full price and can't get a deal.
I thought they were like $600.
Yeah. Some of them are worth up to $800 or $900, especially the new ones.
Was it an S?
It just says
iPhone 6. Which is what I have, so $900 is way too much.
$20.
But still, the thing here is this guy takes a $900 phone, can't get but $20 for it. He's a pretty terrible criminal.
He got a bad deal, yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's lying and pocketed the other $800.
Yeah, it's possible.
$80.
Give me this $20, we'll call it even. the guy needs to find another different buyer next time. And finally, a Nettleton man said a suspect used a permanent magic marker to write profanity on the front door and storm door of his residence and his grandmother's residence.
Oh, no.
Writing cuss words on grandma's door.
No good.
That's not cool.
With a magic marker. That's not one I've thought of. Usually you think of spray paint when people are doing graffiti. Yeah. At least he's giving points for being creative, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Doesn't say what he wrote.
Why? What's his issue with grandma?
Who knows? It's
poor grandma.
Who knows? I'm assuming he's mad at the man, but it's just like
you don't take it on his grandma, you know.
Well, you know, like in the mob, they go after your family, so maybe this is the Nettleton version of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh boy. Anyway, so that's it. Those are your crime reports. We'll have many more, I'm assuming, this week. We'll see what kind of nonsense people got up to over New Year's weekend.
Yeah. If he wakes up tomorrow and finds a magic marker in his bed, we've got issues.
Picture of a horse.
Right. Drawn on the pillow.
That'd be something. You can read crime reports at tipsheet.djournal.com. So look for those. That's it, I guess. We done, Chris?
Yeah, good show today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't finish the bread, though.
Oh, yeah, Lauren brought Nutella bread. Oh,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Nutella bread.
That's why we let her come on the show, because she brought
it. Looked like a star goods. Before
made
I...
Made the bread yourself.
Ate it, yeah.
Made the bread homemade from mm-hmm. scratch.
Yeast.
Yeah. And yeast roast. Explain this process. Mm-hmm.
Egg wash.
Egg wash.
Uh-huh. Egg washing.
Yeah. Egg wash. You yeah. just...
Pretty high advanced.
Brush some eggs on your bread, and it gives it like a golden...
A golden hue.
Yeah.
Yeah, a glaze almost.
I can't think of the correct terminology.
Too bad this is radio, folks.
I know.
Yeah, see? We should do a baking.
That's what it looked like.
Oh, wow. Well, trust me, people, it's amazing.
It's a star.
We should start doing like a baking segment with Lauren. That's what we should do.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, she made my birthday cake, if I don't remember if I told people that.
Yep, not once so much in the cooking. Was I like delicious. Baking.
Made me two cakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first one was kind of a knees room cake.
But yeah, still, yeah.
You brought it on my birthday, I think.
I had some extra frosting and
that frosting.
Baked some cake. Mm.
Yeah. Need to look into that, Lauren. Have a baking segment.
Okay.
Baking cakes with Lauren Wood.
Woo.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some kind of alliteration we could do with it, but we'll work on the name.
Okay. Cake Boss is taken. Can't do that one.
Nah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. You can catch us on Twitter. The show is on Twitter @DJournalMemo. We have an email. Remind me, Chris.
Memo.
Just memo.
JournalInc.com.
Yeah, just email us your questions or comments or insults or praise or whatever. you can, of course, listen on iTunes. Or if you want to listen on your computer, on your laptop, it's memo.djournal.com. And you can find a bunch of back episodes there as well. I'm on Twitter @BradLock. Lauren, you're on Twitter.
Wood, LAU2.
Here we go. Yep. @WoodLAU is
my college email. I got Twitter back in like 2008.
Yeah, that's when I got it.
Yeah.
And Brad Locke was like,
I don't know what Twitter is. I'll just use the my college email. Yeah. Nice. I had to get it for class, actually. I had to get Twitter for a class, for a journalism class.
That's cool.
Yep.
Chris, you're @ChrisKiefer.
@ChrisKiefer, yeah. I remember the first time in 2008, a friend told me, this thing's going to be big. You just got to check it out.
Just do it.
Yeah, I had just started covering Mississippi State, and Kyle Veazey of the Clarion Ledger at the time got it. And I was like, well, if my rival writer has it, I probably should have it too.
Social media pressure.
I know. That's what it was. Let's see. Oh, yeah, djournal.com mm-hmm. for all your news and sports and entertainment news, and also... the journal is on Twitter @DJournal now.
Yeah, and give us a rating in iTunes, too. Yeah, check us out in the iTunes store and give us five stars. Say how much you like us. That'll help us out. Spread the word.
5 stars. Okay. All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Back Wednesday. My day is still mixed up. I kept thinking today, I took the garbage down to the curb last night, because the garbage comes on Tuesday and Friday. And I thought today was going to be Tuesday.
Nope.
I just left it down there because I didn't feel like hauling it back.
Monday.
It's Monday. Okay, we'll be back Wednesday. Derek Russell probably will be back Wednesday as well. Lauren, thank you for filling in.
Thank you.
See y'all next time.